Should I go ahead and start talking now? We got a lot to talk about. Neil, hey, good morning. It's Sunday. This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I'm your host, Edward Marlowe. We've got a surprise guest in studio. We'll get to that in just a second, but good Lord. This is going to be a three-hour podcast, isn't it?
It could be. But the surprise guest, it's not like we're surprised he's here. It's a surprise for our listening.
Yeah, it's absolutely a surprise for our listeners.
He didn't just walk in like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
So he was invited.
I would have. He was invited, but yes. I would love the concept of somebody like a roulette door where somebody walks in. And it's like, hey, you're talking and on the podcast, and we just have to wing it.
That there you go. That'd
be a lot of fun.
Quite challenging. It would be.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Neil, hey. So in studio with us, how do you want us to address you, Lindy Suter?
I'm still the racer insider.
Just
I'm still racer insider.
All right. That's me. Racer insider, Lindy Suter. It's incredible. But I was gonna say, like, Hall of Famer?
Nah.
I'm in the room. No, seriously, like, that's, I'm in the room with two Hall of Famers. Yeah. We got Neil Bradley, Lindy Suter for the Murray, yeah. I believe it was, you said it was
Murray High, yeah.
Murray High, 1974.
It was our 74 basketball team. I was a sophomore on that team, and it was the first Murray High team to win the regional tournament and go to the state. And as I told him last night, you know, I'm a basketball guy.
Right.
I watched a lot of high school basketball, watched a lot of college basketball, and that team right there. And believe me, I was the 12th guy. I was at the end of the bench, as I told Neil before the show. I brought my own concessions.
That's all.
And they were a lot of fun to watch, but I had a great time seeing them this weekend. But I think they were probably the best team that Murray High's ever had.
We'll get to it a little bit later. I want to tease a little bit. Speaking of Murray High, Cat's Paws, the lovely annual yearbook that just came out, speaking of Murray High, I was able to put a young Grant Whitaker as the number one player of the first region. Noah Dumas graduated, decided not to return on SB 128, and I just thought it appropriate and fitting that Grant Whitaker, who's getting some really interesting looks right now from a lot of different teams across the country, great player.
Great kid,
and does a lot of special things. And
yeah, great family, too, and that's what's really good about it, too. I mean, you know, his mom, his dad, his grandmother, Cheryl Whitaker, that worked in the basketball office for so long, and that's kind of a cool story when you see that come along, too. But he's a very talented kid. I've been watching him since he was probably 7th grade and
right.
kind of noticed him when he was playing 6th and 7th grade. That kid had a lot of potential, and I think he's definitely going to play at the next level.
He's done nothing but improve.
Where do they pick him, by the way?
So,
the
where do they pick
Murray in the region?
Oh, that's a good question. So, I will actually be completely fair. Let's open it up live here. I literally just got it in the mail about 12 hours ago.
Did you not write this one?
I did write this
one. But you don't remember where they were picked.
Well, so here's why.
All right.
And okay. I don't mind addressing it. I actually did a straw poll of coaches this year.
Oh, okay. Right. Good.
A lot of times, and I've been fairly accurate, I would think, but I think from a comfort level, and, you know, I didn't get to watch as much basketball last year for, you know, critical reasons that we're all aware of. And so it was one of those situations where I kind of knew where teams I thought would sit, but I wanted to talk to coaches. So I sent an email out, said, hey, listen, let's get a straw poll going. Just let me know who your top five teams are. Because no disrespect, but usually your final four are the ones you really got to get right. And then
yeah.
everybody else is just jockeying to get
You're
the
right.
regional tournament.
Yeah.
So, number one, McCracken County. And okay. that's even post-Dumas because of the amount of talent they return. I'm high on Brant Brower. Merlin Brower's son is a terrific basketball player. McCracken County at number one. And we got Graves at two because they return their backcourt in Marcus Isaiah and Drew Thompson. And Marcus is having a terrific football season. And then I've got Murray third. And like I said, I think it's going to be a dogfight. I've got Tillman fourth, Marshall fifth.
All right.
So, and Callaway as a
Watch
sneaky.
Watch out for Callaway. I'm
yep.
just kind of telling
I know,
you.
I know.
Think you're sneaky.
My grandson
sneaky.
Tells me, he says,
yeah, he got
a bunch of good young kids.
Yeah,
what
been,
he says.
I've been watching their kids and the young kids playing the AAU ball on some teams.
Eli Finley, they're pretty
impressive.
Yes. Eli Finley's legit.
I think their future's looking pretty good.
Their future's looking pretty good, and I think they're going to surprise some teams yes. early this year. So,
okay.
again, I don't necessarily like picking top teams, but it's preseason. It gives people talking points. McCracken, prohibitive favorite for obvious reasons, defending champion, return a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we're going to get another special regional tournament,
okay.
quite frankly.
I
think that's
so.
How it's going to work. So, yeah, real quick, just a very quick top 10. Grant Whitaker from Murray. He could be Grant Murray. He's that good. Ian Hart from McCracken.
I like
getting,
that kid.
Getting some D1 looks. Drew Thompson, Graves, getting some D1 looks. Mayan Shaw from Tillman. Matthew Ray from Callaway. Garrett Hayden from Carlisle. Mason Grant from Graves. Trey Boggess from Murray, Cole Mills from Marshall, and Brant Brower from McCracken. And a lot of guys wrapped around that that could certainly get interesting. And then with girls, I'll just quickly mention it. I was able to update that super quickly. Skylar Waller, of course, transferring to Marshall. I've got the Marshalls as the very, very possible champion, but McCracken right there. And that's because of Destiny Thomas. So, you know, we can talk about all that stuff later, but, you know, you were talking about Murray High. And
yep.
Grant Whitaker is a special player, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play a few games this year.
Who's of all the guys who came in, who changed the least? Is there one guy's like, oh my gosh, he looks just the same?
Tyrone McChristian.
Really? Yeah. Looks pretty
Tyrone,
much the same.
Tyrone, yeah. He was a senior on that team, uh-huh. And I thought Tyrone, he's really still in really great condition, great shape. Danny Hudspeth, too, pretty yeah. good, though, but always, Tyrone McChristian.
You know, when I go to high school reunions, you go to that, and there's, you know, everyone like, yeah, they like me. There's always that one person like, how do you do it? You look a little gray in your hair, but other than that, you look like the same person that I used to throw paper wads at in class.
Do you?
By the way, that team was 26-2, and average margin of victory was 19 points a game.
That's amazing.
The weird thing about it, Ed, and I was telling Neil, we were picked 11th in the preseason.
That's what I'm saying.
In the region.
And I'm glad you brought that up. That's the thing. Like, I love Cat's Paws. I'm glad that I'm a part of its fabric, just ever briefly. You know, I've written for it now for the last 5 years, hoping to, knock on wood, you know, continue that relationship. But, you know, it's one of those situations you look at a preseason and you say, you know what, the hell with that. Like, well, that's just easy to do.
Well, back then, though, we didn't have summer basketball. We didn't have the summer tournaments, so nobody knew. You know, you just kind of – we all got it done at the Carr Health Building, and then the next year you showed up, and how much did you improve playing against the college kids at Carr Health Building?
Yeah, true.
That's basically what happened. Yeah.
I mean, true sleep. Like, you legitimately have, like, sleepers, and you still have sleepers now, mm-hmm. but you're right, there's so much information now 40 years later.
I mean, we can't even find a videotape from 74, yeah. so, you know, we can't even –
Well, I'm probably I'm sure
incredible.
A couple of those wins were over South Marshall.
It sure was. I remember a them well. A very hostile environment
what?
In South Marshall.
Well, now we've got
it was a very hostile environment in South Marshall.
For those who inquired, in case you aren't aware, Neil Bradley is you're a South Marshall
alum. Yeah,
alum. Yeah. But I'm forgetting. Were you? It was not the Indians, was it?
No, they were the Rebels.
They were the Rebels.
The Brewers, Redmen, and then the Indians.
That's
so
right.
I was looking for the most offensive college I could find. Couldn't really find one, so I just stayed and went with Racers. I mean, wow, I'll just go here.
Love to see
I can't find
it. We had some big matchups.
But that's what I'm saying.
And we didn't know it, though. We did not know that.
I'm here refereeing. I'm a Tree County Wildcat, whatever. We're just, you know, kind of river rats, so to speak, right there with Lyon and Caldwell as kind of the cast offs of Western Kentucky. But yeah, we have a South Marshall and a Murray grad, so it's the two of you guys having played. Y'all played baseball against each other too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, sure did.
I don't have a lot. The only memory I have against anyone around here playing baseball against is Dan Thompson. Remember tall mm-hmm. Dan who's out at Callaway? Mm-hmm. He hit me with a pitch twice in the game. So obviously he didn't know what he is doing, or he would have just thrown it down the middle to me, but he hit me twice.
Your OBP that day was 1,000.
Yeah. My first high school pitching starting assignment as a sophomore was against South Marshall.
That's awesome.
I was going back and reading the article about 10 years ago, and I'm reading through the article and kind of, you know, smiling, and I get to the part where we're in a sticky situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing was, we played the game, the start of the article, we played the game in 1 hour and 5 minutes. We played 7-inning game in 1 hour and 5 minutes.
That's either great pitching or
well, the umpire
Yeah, that was a pretty good. It was pretty good pitching because I was pitching.
If it's around, if it's around the plate, that's a strike.
But anyway, it got to a point, and I'm reading, and Joe Smith from South Marshall hit into a double play.
There it is.
How he ended, and I'm going,
I know
is
it was
Joe
a
Smith?
Screamer. I'm sure it was
a top play.
Make that play.
That is absolutely
and then
beautiful.
Bang, bang at first, I'm sure.
Joe Smith, a.k.a.
And
Neil
I'm going, Bradley. And we're reading, and I run into him at Brooks. Remember me telling you about it? I said, was that he? And it was.
That's
and so
wild.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah, well, for those who inquired, you've learned a lot. Joe Smith, a.k.a. Neil Bradley, hits into a double play against Lindy Suter.
Yeah, for a 1-0 victory.
My Murray highlight wasn't against Murray. It was at Ty Holland, and we're playing, I guess, in the district tournament, and I hit my only career triple way out there in center field over the center field's head. He was way too shallow or something. And all I could get was three bases. So I'm over there, and that's all I could do. Anyone else on the team gets out getting inside the park.
But I love it.
That's all I got.
It warms my heart. We do want to get to some actual news, but it is really good actually catch up. By all means.
10 minutes in, and we've got no college mentions basically at all.
We've talked about no sports, what we think's happening to the Ohio Valley Conference or Murray State. We're just going to reminisce. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's reminisce, actually. It wasn't that long ago that Malik Honeycutt had a miraculous return for a touchdown. That was Saturday that happened. He did it against SEMO for the Miracle in Murray.
Yeah.
And that was the walk-off win. And then we fast forward to roughly, 24 months later, he's dealt with an injury. You know, the Racers coming off of that UT Martin loss. We have not talked since then. Tough loss in which a lot of things happen. We'll unpack that in just a moment. But just in recent memory, you know, Racers down again, 15 points, rough third quarter. Things not going well. And all of a sudden, here's how they jumpstart it by scoring 16 points to win the game.
Yeah.
And it's really, really a lot of it comes on that return. Neil, walk us through you and Aaron Clayton trying to call that game.
Yeah, well, we're in a room because they've condemned the side of Houck Stadium where the press box is contained. So he was like, well, what about the home radio? They're down the hall from me.
Yeah.
So we have monitors, and I thought, it'll be fine. You know, monitors are huge these days. Had a little monitor like this, 17-inch monitor I'm calling the game off of. It's incredible. So I'm trying to see what's going on.
There's a football the size
Harris
of
is a little bigger. Now, the reason I didn't – there was no room to put my other stuff, so I had to have the smaller monitor.
Right.
So we're trying to call it. But anyhow, we got through it. SEMO, they're doing the best they can. It's not their fault. It's not the Sports Information Department's fault that this happened.
No, not at all.
So they have to accommodate us. But, and they ran in real crowd noise. So if you were listening to the game, like, sounds like you're there to me, because it did. But we did the best we could do. So we got lost on some plays where they throw it, and then the camera wouldn't follow. So you're like, I don't know where they're throwing it to. Don't know if they caught it. Don't know if they didn't catch it. No
That's
idea.
That's terrific.
But on that particular play, it just looked like Malik was going to let it roll dead.
Right.
And so the SEMO players are just kind of standing around, and Malik goes, I'll just pick it up and take off. And once he got through the two guys, he's going down the line. He needs to get, I think, maybe two blocks, and he gets them and takes it into the end zone, and the momentum's there. And there's still a little under 12 minutes to go. So at that point, you think, you've got a chance to come back and win this.
Oh, yeah.
But can't stop Geno Hess. I mean, he's knocking on 200 yards. So that fourth quarter, the Racer defense gives up 12 total yards of offense and no points to Southeast Missouri.
They got home field.
Yeah, and got that one stop they had to have. If they get a first down, game's over, they'll run out the clock and it's over. They got the stop, and then it's the DJ Williams show from that point on.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Two nice runs, good decisions, and then the throw that he makes to Witherspoon, where he jukes I think the guy's shoes might still be on the field, puts the move on him.
You're talking about over the middle pass.
Like jumps over, dude, and fantastic. So everything went right, and you could tell they just got it to the point. I'm sure they went and asked Aaron, where you need it? Here's where I need it. Here's where I want it. They ran that one play to put it where he wanted it, 35-yarder, boom.
Amazing. Two things I want
to. I'm a DJ Williams fan. I like DJ Williams, man. I've liked him since the first day we signed him.
Yeah.
I thought this kid could be special. Multi-sport star in high school. I'm excited about watching him play the rest of his career.
Two things that I do want to say really quick, and again, there's a lot to unpack. That's what's happened in the last 2 weeks for Murray State football. Number one, obviously the amount of rumors that are swirling about Murray State's future home or current home or anything in between. I'm sure that that's probably something that's hard to keep out of a locker room. You know, that's really tough. Number two, injuries have been a key concern. Neil, I know you'll address this. 13 guys. 13 of the 22 regular starters that opened up the spring are either dinged up or severely injured right now. One of them being your starting quarterback and longtime starter Preston Rice. And so DJ Williams has been admirable. Is maybe a good word. There may be a better word for him. He's been very good over these last six quarters. It looked like he got inserted kind of into the starting lineup against UT Martin in the second half after Preston, unfortunately, had two more interceptions, just not a lot of zip on the ball. I've been told by more than one source that his shoulder's just not in great shape. He was with the team yesterday, so he's just trying to get healthy.
But he was listed as emergency yesterday.
Yeah. And that's
Stinson was the second string quarterback.
That's 13 out of 22 starters.
Yeah. 13. This is from the
spring.
From the Mississippi Valley game.
Okay.
13 players out or unavailable. And you know that included Rice, who was unavailable.
That's your ones.
LaMartez Brooks unavailable.
He was at a family function.
Yeah, but he was unavailable. That's your number one receiver in terms of receptions. He wasn't there.
Right.
So yeah, 13 people who were unavailable, injuries or out for something like that.
Two key defenders. Yeah. Don Parker.
And Humpick
and Devontae McKee.
Yeah, and McKee.
The third thing that I want to mention. And this is where it's crazy to me. And Lindy, you've seen this before too, and in so many different sports. It is incredible at 2 minutes and 48 seconds when they don't convert the fourth down. DJ scrambles. He looks like he might have the first down on the run, tries to make a throw. Simo pushes him out. At that point, ESPN predicted that Simo had a 93.9% chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. They get three stops on the two timeouts and have 2 minutes left, and they completely flip the script.
Yeah.
94% chance to win the game. And I asked Dean Hood yesterday, what do you think about that? And he said, you give us 6% and we'll take it all the way.
Is that right? Well, all you're looking for is a legitimate chance.
I thought the game was over.
I did too, sure.
I mean, I really did. I was actually watching it on my phone at Tap 216 with my former teammates, the basketball teammates.
You had a Hall of Fame to go to.
I was just watching it, and when that happened, I kind of flipped it off for a little bit. Then I went back and checked it, and then we ended up watching the last, I think, 50 seconds, and we were all shocked.
I know.
I mean, we're fixing to maybe win this game.
So was Simo.
And how about that kicker, man?
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah, I get a text from, I don't know where my phone happens to be. I get one text yesterday.
One.
That's one. Okay. Other than, like, you guys about the show.
Harassing you.
And this is the second extra point attempt from Aaron Baum.
Yes.
And I said, he hasn't ever missed as a racer. Clank?
Yeah.
From Matt McMahon. Blank, Neil? The announcer jinx lives on. There you go. Thanks, Coach. Enjoy the broadcast, Go Racers.
I really like that kid. That kid really – I follow him on Twitter, and I really like
him.
Is
his story
amazing? Well-deserved.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I really – if I was doing my Racer Insider paper, he'd be a story.
You got to bring it back.
Man.
Well, we're thinking about maybe – a few issues. I miss Neil's column, and shoot, I miss those covers too. Man.
Do special releases.
Yeah, we could do that.
What if you did a quarterly?
We're kicking it around.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know who else is kicking it around? Aaron Baum, seven straight.
He put the bomb on.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's all I've got. But seriously, that's seven straight field goals.
Here's my
impressive
call on it, which I don't know if you heard it or not. You probably, if you're watching on ESPN,
yeah, I had to listen.
The camera, remember, we're calling it in a room, so the camera zoomed in on Baum. You see it go through the uprights. It's good, but we can't see the clock. So I don't know if the game's over or not. Is there 1 second left? Maybe there's 2 seconds. I don't know. I have to wait.
Unbelievable.
And they never showed the clock, and until I saw the officials trotting off the field, that's when I knew the game was over.
But I couldn't
call it over until then. Something you would know if you were there. You could look at the clock. Oh, zeros. It's over.
Yeah. Okay. I want to. What's next for Murray State football at this point? Because you clearly have a health concern. There are legitimately some key guys and some very, very important individuals who in the last 2 weeks, and we can just briefly address UT Martin. That first half was a nightmare that you want to forget. The second half, much better. You regroup. You get things together. Still not a win.
Mm-hmm.
We say these things, by the way, and UT Martin escaped Eastern Illinois, and I mean escaped, like stole the bag in the fourth quarter and said, well, thanks for playing.
They did lock him down the second half.
They did. Absolutely locked him down in the second half, but it required a complete change of, not effort, but there was a game plan switch at halftime. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this isn't working. We're down 17-14, and we got to find a way. And they did in the final 15 minutes. But I've already talked about that with a couple of people. That's how interesting the league is going to be, I think, for the next 8 weeks,
yeah,
7 weeks. Because, number one, you've still got some non-conference games floating out there, including Murray State SEMO has another non-conference game coming up, which – Lindy, let's get your thoughts on that super quick.
Go ahead and count the games as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you end up – the schedules – I mean, we've had unbalanced schedules in basketball a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's
true.
We've
got to play teams home and away. Make them all count.
Yeah.
I'm not in for this night.
Well, this will count.
Yeah.
If you win eight FCS games,
Good.
You're going to the playoffs.
Well, yeah. There. All right. There's a way where
you're going to the playoffs.
Good deal.
That part, it does.
Eight-win teams don't stay home for the postseason.
Well, I'm glad you told me that.
That does
that
count.
That does help.
It's counting for a championship. It's the auto bid situation.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. So Neil and I were of the notion we don't agree all the time. You know, where's your Liberal Tears cup? Where is it?
I love it. It's right up there.
That's it right there. It's part of the trophy case. So one of the things that I will say is that I think when you have the OVC trying to make a solution on the quick departures of JSU and Eastern Kentucky, now Austin Peay, Belmont, you know, of course, not playing football, but still, those three football programs exiting the field as quickly as possible, you had to find a way to supplant the schedule with quality opponents.
Well, since Neil's mentioned the 8-win deal, I kind of get a better – I might change my opinion.
Neil's right.
And if you play two D3 teams there, they don't count them.
Yeah.
You're six wins, and they're not going to let you in.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
And that was the whole reasoning behind that.
Okay,
you could get a couple of wins – and it could affect your at-large bid. Otherwise, and it may be seeding as well, because for Martin, if they go, you know, win on out, they're going to win the thing. But it'll affect their seeding if they have two FCS wins versus playing two Sisters of the Poor, and it's not going to count for them.
The next 2 weeks, I want to make sure I have this right. This upcoming Saturday is another road game, isn't it?
No.
Is that right?
No, it's homecoming, Ed.
Homecoming, Ed.
Oh,
we've been waiting for this weekend for a month.
It's all OVC games from here on. All OVC games for us. From here on,
so I'm going on vacation starting Saturday.
You're already on vacation.
You're right. So you're not wrong there. You're right. It is homecoming, and it's Austin Peay, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Mm. All right. Mm. So that's huge. And then this is where I was going. The next Saturday, you're in Tennessee playing Eddie George and Tennessee State.
Okay, they've won back-to-back games for the first time in five years.
And that's what I'm saying. So, like, the league is weird because SEMO beat Austin Peay, you know, and I mean, Peay's trying to figure some things out. And
they're turning it over. That's their problem.
It is.
Six
but that's,
turnovers in the game.
And that's what I'm getting at. You've got homecoming this weekend, Racer football trying to recollect. This is a huge win for them. A lot of momentum going into homecoming. Maybe a lot of things going on in homecoming, but we're not really sure about that either. We'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be playing a hot Tennessee State team, hoping you're healthier. And then, I mean, still anything can happen. There is still so much OVC football left to play that it's going to be absolutely crazy.
And here's a cool stat for you.
Okay.
Going into yesterday, we had seven games remaining. Five of the teams that we play have a bye week before they play us.
Ah.
The team we just played, Austin Peay this week, and then three others.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a lot of preparation.
How about that? Mm.
That's tough. Mm. Do we want to have a moment of silence for that?
That's just the way the schedule broke. I don't think it's really anything.
It just happened.
Yeah, it happened, and a lot of it is because of having to reschedule these games around the two teams that left. They've caused these kind of problems for all sorts of folks.
So let's just, I will very quickly say then, it is a season of adversity. It goes without saying, there's always the curse of we've got 22 starters coming back. Injuries happen. That's football. You got to deal with it. Now your depth is being tested. I have not seen. I mean, look at Cade Schubert yesterday. Schubert chose Murray State, I believe, over Indiana State. If I remember my commitments correctly.
He's from Indiana.
Heck of a linebacker. Look at what he did yesterday. Yeah. You know, finished second. Samuda had to do everything yesterday. He had 12 tackles. You know, you've got Alec Long playing reserve minutes. You've got all of these guys that are really young having to step in and play right now. And with expectations of winning the championship, you were picked in the preseason as the prohibitive favorite with these two or three other teams right on your tail. And UT Martin has shown up. SEMO, you know, I think they had a vote. Austin Peay, So now, I mean, you're still locked in this really tight race where anything can happen over the next 7 weeks.
That's a big game Saturday right there. Austin,
they've been
a big disappointment, I'm sure, and they know their back's against the wall.
Loser's done.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, loser's done for the conference race.
Big game.
It is. And by the way, on Cade, I like Cade okay personally, but how can someone have that awesome a hair and I get none? That's just not fair.
Mm.
I mean, he's got like shoulder length.
He does
I got
have
nothing.
He has a mane.
Maybe, I don't know if it's the best hair on the team, because some guys, you know, they'll pop it up under the helmet, but it's got to be in the top five.
It's good.
It's good.
Play on that 74 basketball team, you had to get your hair cut above your ears.
Did you? Was that the rule?
That was the rule.
In 74?
74. No, we all had long hair back
then. That's what I'm saying.
But during basketball season, we didn't have long
hair. That's why I didn't play basketball in my 8th grade year. Had to get it cut above your ear. Yeah, above your ear. I ain't doing that. Didn't play.
Sure did.
They didn't really miss me in basketball. the coach wasn't willing to change the rule.
I think we got to 20 wins, the hair started getting a little longer.
That's when you knew the team was playing well.
Yeah. That's right.
Letting it grow by the ear. I loved it. We love to see it, man. That's a perfect time for us to shift into a little bit of basketball. Lindy, obviously, you're more than welcome on our podcast at any time, but you do have what I would consider some really strong insight, not just on this year's basketball team, but Murray State men's basketball and women's basketball in general. Let's just open up by asking you, you've seen a lot of practice.
Yes.
Let's just get into it. Why waste time? Why dilly-dally? We know what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the team finished 13-13. You go read my preview in the Cat's Paws. Last year was a frustrating disappointment. You saw moments of bliss with moments of frustration, and it didn't end the way things wanted. You get this recruiting class coming in. What have you seen out of practice? Let's just start vanilla. What have you seen just maybe in the last two or three practices, just mentally? What can you tell us?
A physically stronger team. I mean, I still think they may have some work to do on the mental end. A very experienced team. When you look out there and you look at successful teams in the past, besides the Ja Morant, with him being a freshman, sophomore, but they've been veteran teams.
Yeah.
A lot of teams that make noise are senior-lated teams. You might look at our team and say we got a lot of newcomers, but when you look at who those newcomers are, they're veterans. So we're going to have four guys in that starting lineup that are four-year guys that have started at the Division I level. And I think that's the first thing, the experience. I see a team that has a lot of different weapons. A team similar to the team that beat Vanderbilt. I'm not going to go out and say they're going to be as good as De Niro and them, but a team that might be similar.
They have the utility.
They have guys that can do a lot of different things. We've got guys that can knock down the three. Tevin can knock down the three. Carter Collins can knock down the three. Juice Hill has actually really improved his game this year. I think you're going to see a more confident Juice Hill, a more comfortable Juice Hill. I think he had a hard time finding his role last year.
Yeah.
He just looks more comfortable. And our guard position is much stronger. Defensively, ball handling, passing, you know, all those good things.
Yeah,
shooting, passing, dribbling, and playing defense. Okay.
Important basketball.
It wins some games.
Important fundamentals.
Did you say that wins games?
It does win games.
It wins games.
But when I look out there and I see Trey Hannibal, sophomore, highly ranked kid out of South Carolina, played some in big games at South Carolina in the SEC, and a strong kid that can really lock you down on the defensive end.
I'm glad you brought
that up. Side.
I tried to make that point. That dude's a thief.
Oh, he's 215, and he's a good solid 6'2", and he can get down guards, and he's explosive off the floor, made some fantastic moves to the basket yesterday. Really like him a lot. And then, you got Carter and Tevin. I mean, I think we possibly got four, five, six guys on our team that are potentially, maybe not, of course, all not this year,
right,
but potential first-team all-conference players.
And that's,
and we got could have three or four this year, potential, I'm saying. I'm not going.
Well, you talk about Blue Book, and Neil and I have addressed this quite a bit. I don't think people understand the type of impact Carter Collins can bring. And Skipper, too. But that's, as a matter of fact, I don't mind talking about it at this point, because he's now with Radford, but when Murray State landed Jordan Skipper Brown, Shane specifically texted me and said, "We just got a guy.
We just
got a dog.
This is a good fit with KJ too.
Yep.
And you know our rebounding is going to be better.
Yep.
I mean our defense is going to be better. Our 3-point shooting is going to be better. So we're just going to be a better team. We're going to be a better team than we were last year. I can guarantee you that.
Does it translate to a conference championship?
Oh, I think we're going to be right there at it. I really do. I mean, we're there. Because we're going to be going in there with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder anyway.
Yep.
And we're underrated. It's like when that guy put out that 128, and I told you, why didn't they call me yet? I watched them. I actually watched these guys.
Matt Norlander should
have a little history. I know who to compare them with, over the past. But I can see that if you just looked at it on paper. But, you know, if you had Carter Collins as your two-year returning starter at Murray State, top 65 program like Davidson. You know, like Davidson
absolutely.
Is one of your starters.
All right, Dave.
You got a guy that's 6'7", that can jump higher than 12 foot and got 17 and 12 in our building. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That sure did.
So you got them guys.
Oh, four blocks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So I bought an extra couple of season tickets. I'll just put it that way. After okay. I watched them.
Okay. Well, and so here's the thing, too. And again, just to remind listeners and ourselves here, we've already seen some preseason discussion from Blue Book. Blue Ribbon. Blue Ribbon. And OVC actually put this out as well. Obviously, you know, Belmont, we've got to address some great teams that are on the way. Belmont's going to be really good this year, in their last year in the Ohio Valley Conference, a nice quick visit. After being in the A-Sun for a long time, come to the OVC.
Thank you, OVC.
You know,
those who inquire, they're going to the MVC. Right?
That's right. For those who inquire, they are our namesake. So for those who inquire, they're headed to the Missouri Valley, private men's women's basketball program and other successful programs wrapped around it. Got a brand new practice facility, I think, that just got finished. But anyways, we digress.
Have they shrunk the gym any?
I don't think they need
to shrink it.
It's too
big for them.
Yeah, I don't think they shrunk it. No, honey, we shrunk the gym.
I don't think it happened. 1,500 down there. Maybe it'd be max. Make it a tough ticket.
Yeah, make it a hard buy.
Well, I remember calling the game from there last year. There was Kenny and I sitting 150, 200 feet from the court. There was no one within 150 feet of us. And the mask people were unhappy because we weren't masked calling the game. So
it's unbelievable.
That's wild.
Yeah. So we didn't really comply from that. It's like, look, we rode in the car here. If we're going to get it, we're going to get it from each other. And we're not around anybody.
Not at all.
We're not putting anything on.
So. Yeah. No, I get it.
Sorry, Karen.
No, you're good.
Go do something else.
Hey, my mom's name's Karen.
All Karens aren't bad. I went to school with two Karens. Really nice.
My first girlfriend was named Karen.
Yeah, right. That's why she's your girlfriend, not your wife.
We don't need to be going there. That here is funny. Edited that out.
Here comes the podcast on the nice trend into the mountains. Just crash. Belmont it needs little introduction. I think Tennessee State's going to be really good this year. You know, obviously, I want to see that come to fruition. That's no disrespect to Penny Collins at all. I think he's a terrific coach, but until Tennessee State can actually like get their recruiting class, get it to stick around and like commit to the process of keeping guys. Again, this is no disrespect to Penny Collins. I think he's a terrific coach, but Tennessee State has tried time and again to get some recruits, get some big time guys, and it just hasn't panned out to critical wins. Now, that doesn't mean it's not coming this year. I think they're going to certainly be improved. They've got a touted recruiting class. And then, you know, we've got to mention the fact that, you know, we can't sleep on Morehead State. I mean, can't sleep at all. No. Defending champion, Trey Hollowell, huge addition for them. He's got some Western Kentucky ties, obviously, as a hometown kid. Super, super gifted player. And, Janai Broome's just really freaking good. Mm-hmm. So, Preston Spradlin's going to wrap. They did graduate some key guys in Morehead, some key guard play for them. But, I mean, when you have Janai Broome, it just starts there, and you wrap everything else around that. So, I think it's going to be another interesting 4-5-team race that, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe it's just a 2-team race. But I think we'll have some interesting matchups. Lindy, we've already addressed the 3 or 4, you know, key basketball components that make good teams. You know, you defensive rebounding, 3-point defense. These are things that have been the Racer calling card. I wrote about this in the summer. Every single recruit, now whether they play or not a lot of minutes this year, you know, a guy like DJ Burns, you know, coming off some injury, trying to get healthy and things like that. Every single guy that they brought in to replace Kirby Robinson, Chico Carter, so on and so forth. Breon Whitley to Southern and Devin Gilmore graduation. Every guy was better that they recruited. Every guy, all 5 guys had produced better stats. Did that surprise you?
That's my eyeball too. So I think we improved ourselves.
Yes, that's kind of what I was trying to draw out here. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody at all. I think Chico Carter, I think Damon Robinson will do
for what this team needed. Trey Hannibal is a tough point guard with point guard skills. He's strong. He can play defense. He doesn't have to be a great 3-point shooter. We got some guys that can shoot the 3. Chico's strength was his three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't his defensive, being a stopper, and that's not taking anything away. He was very good at what he did good.
Yeah, that was his skill.
What this team needed was something different than that, in my opinion.
Sure.
And I think we really have gotten that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
And you talk about, you know, what it takes. I'm still a big backcourt. I mean, me and Neil can go back. We can look when we dominated the backcourt in our conference. We've always been really, yep. really, really good.
Bad guards and don't win championships.
Don't win championships. And if you can get a tie inside and dominate the guard position, you're putting yourself in a good position. That's how come I feel really good. I know KJ and Skipper and Nick and DJ and Elijah, I know that they're going to be able to get a tie in our league. I really do.
Yeah, you're talking about if that ends up being a wash.
Yeah, and the backcourt dominates, and that's been pretty much history. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back
for the league,
for the league, and I really like that we got a guy. We got a couple of guys because Juice ain't no slouch on defense. He's pretty quick, and we need a couple of guys that can cover up Grayson Murphy.
Yeah,
that's going to be key matchups.
Key matchups,
because I still think they can talk about the big boy. I think Belmont goes around Grayson Murphy.
He's a terrific basketball player. And was chosen by Blue Ribbon as the preseason player of the year.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't.
Kid averages 11-6-5.
When he steps on the court.
I'm saying like that's his career. Like that's what he does. Okay. I don't know if he does that this year.
Okay.
I'm just saying he did that last year. Like he was a 10-6-5 guy. It was silly. And the weird part about it, Neil and I talked a lot about it, it was free throw shooting. Now, he hit key free throws when he needed to, but his free throw shooting was probably his only knock last year.
Yeah, one of the things I really like about him is his competitiveness.
He takes
his competitiveness to the 10 level, in my opinion, and that's what we got to match.
And I've never seen him get beat on a 50-50 play.
Nah.
He wins every 50-50. Yeah. And that's tough to do.
He's 100-0.
Yeah.
I think we got some guys that's going to be able to cause him an issue, and I think that's going to be a really key.
Be interesting to see how it all plays out. We talk about all these things, and Murray State men's and women's basketball are on the horizon, on the precipice. Not only have we had schedule releases, we now have we have an exhibition game set for
2 weeks from Monday.
November 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe don't the women play their exhibition early in the day?
No. Play Trevecca Nazarene. I think it's at 5 o'clock.
Their home opener is early in the day.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
That's right.
Parker Griffith.
Like a secret scrimmage next Sunday, right?
That's right. So I'm glad I was headed. You read my mind. Secret scrimmage, not so secret at all as, Goodman. Jeff Goodman of Stadium.com has routed those out for ESPN. He has brought that talent to Stadium.com over the years. They have a long list of your, quote, secret, not so secret scrimmages, and it looks like Murray State is playing Indiana State at a neutral facility. I got to think that's probably Evansville. That's the middle point there, if I had to guess, on October 24th.
Yes.
Going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out as well. Neil, you've got a moment here.
Well, just the Ashbury game, that's a 10:30 a.m. airtime, 11 a.m. tip-off. That is the actual season opener for the Racer women.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Trevecca Nazarene is a 5 o'clock tip. And we do get they play a few of these. They play an 11 a.m. game when they play at Mississippi Valley State on the 23rd of November. And when they play at Florida on a Tuesday, that is a noon tip-off. So probably some of those where they're bringing students in, that's what those traditionally have been, and I would assume that's what Murray State's probably is, too.
I like that. Bring in some elementary students, some middle school students, in and really jazz up.
And just think about your choice, be in school or go to a Racer game. It's like, that's not a choice. Yeah. I'll take that every time.
Oh, you mean I get hot dog, popcorn, and watch cool girls play basketball?
Yeah,
Young women play basketball.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like when I got caught cheating on a test when I was a freshman. The punishment was getting out of class and liming the baseball field.
Oh.
So you absolutely love
it.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to cheat tomorrow.
I wasn't the only one.
That's,
by the way.
That's absolutely.
I won't call the other guys out.
That's absolutely hilarious. I want to briefly address, that's funny that you mentioned that. I do want to briefly address, since we're on the point of Murray State women's basketball. Should we believe the hype? And I'm just asking the question. I'm conjecturing here. I believe the hype. I think Rochelle has a lot of talent coming back. You won a game in the postseason last year for the first time since the big win against UT Martin, I believe. So you were kind of starving for a postseason victory. You get a big win against SEMO, and you return everybody with this recruiting class. Is Murray State women's basketball poised to make a move in the Ohio Valley?
If they stay healthy, that's really been the key for them.
Yeah.
The control that they don't have is what other teams do. Martin had a absolutely loaded recruiting class. They did have some key losses, yes, They're going to be good. Going to have Belmont in that last year. Good. I don't understand why Tech isn't better than they are. I mean, they have a ton of talent over there.
They really do.
So, but I think it's those three teams and Murray State. I think this is their move to get into the top three, maybe the top two, as long as health, because Rochelle has been, I think, filling every need. All right, need height, got to get that. Got to get rebounding. I need better defense. I need backup point guard. You have to think of the future and everything.
Right.
And I think she has pretty much every box checked on what she needs for this season.
Well, and you, we've talked a lot about the three recruits she has coming in. Another Puente, Riley Pena, who's a 5'5", another 5'5 shooter. We've talked a lot about her. You also have, what is her name up in Indiana?
Stewart.
That's right, Zoe Stewart. Yeah, thank you.
Brian Stewart's daughter.
Yeah, absolutely, right. There's a tie there. So, you know, you got three young ladies that are probably going to graduate. I've been told by more than one source, and you and I have addressed it, that if all goes well, you know, Macy's going to return for another year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's not looking at graduation just yet, but some players like Alexis Burpo, Lex Mays, Reagan Blackburn, probably staring at graduation as the seniors in this team. So you have, it's weird, you have a great mix of youth and experience for women's basketball. Oh, and by the way, you have probably one of the better young forwards in the league in Caitlin Young. And yeah, we're just going to have to mention her footwork. Her footwork is immaculate. And you know that's only going to get better.
Yeah, we were out at dinner, I think, Wednesday night, and several members of the women's basketball team, including Caitlin, were there. My wife, they see all these tall girls at women's basketball team because they're not used to seeing a bunch of 5'11", 6 foot, five or six of them.
Yeah.
Like, but that's where we've come. No longer are they 5'7", 5'8". Rochelle's really addressed that. But Caitlin, I love watching her. She's one of the favorite players I've seen in years, just with the soft touch, nice passing, good touch around the basket, and that mid-range jumper. My gosh. It's going to be so much fun to watch her play.
I'm just encouraging a lot of people, and Linda, you've mentioned season tickets. Both schedules for the men and the women's basketball program this year are robust schedules. You've got Murray State women's basketball playing two SEC teams, both on the road, a couple really tough other out-of-conference games. That Mississippi Valley State game is always tough just from a travel perspective. You've got men's basketball with a robust schedule. Just in your thoughts, because there have been some great schedules in the last 10 to 15 years, and recency bias always comes in. Do these look like two of the stronger schedules?
I'm not familiar with the girls' schedule.
Sure.
To be honest with you, the men's schedule, yes, I think it's very strong. We throw Memphis and Auburn into the same year on the road. I mean, that's almost enough. And that tournament down in Florida is a stout tournament.
I mean, that first game,
it's an East Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Is that who we're playing?
It sure
against?
Is. Mm-hmm.
That's a stout program right there, really good program. In fact, their conference last year, the Southern Conference, was ranked 13th in the nation.
That's right.
As a basketball conference.
And RPI, they were 9th.
Yeah, and Missouri Valley, I think, was 11th, and OVC was 25th, and the Atlantic Sun was 30th. For those who want to know.
Why don't we go to the Atlantic Sun?
Well, yeah, the number 30 ranked.
For those who inquired.
Yeah, for those who inquired.
That's, you know what? I don't mind telling this again. Lindy, just to give you an idea, Neil and I have been podcasting for quite a long time. I want to give you right here the reason why. Do you know why we call this podcast the For Those Who Inquired podcast?
Nope.
Do you remember... And I bring it up. I don't mind at all. It's fun. It's always fun to remind why we are who we are. Why are we asses, Neil?
we are what we are.
For those who inquired, as you remember, the wonderful 2019 season team, 2018-2019 season that we were all treated to across the country, Ja Morant, sophomore, explosive. Belmont, explosive with Nick Mazinski, you know, obviously. You know, you had Wendler, you had all those guys, you know, you had younger Grayson Murphy. I digress. Anyway, you get to the championship game, and Ja Morant's healthy, and unfortunately Moose isn't. He had hurt himself against Austin Peay. They sat him out. They liked their chances, both for an at-large bid and for a possible conference championship win without him. Murray State wins.
You were making me think about that tweet that made my blood pressure go out
ceiling. That's right.
You had to bring that up, Ed.
Yeah, so a week later, going into the NCAA tournament, certain individuals within Belmont's office.
There you go. I got
that's
it.
That's it.
I got it.
Then your blood pressure returns. They tweeted, for those who inquired, Nick Mazinski averaged such and such and so.
Yeah.
Somehow forgetting Well, first of all, it pissed off everyone in Murray.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Because Ja got hurt in the regular season matchup and played on a bum ankle and shot 5 for 19 in front of, you know, a sold-out house. And then, like, a week later, they lost to Jacksonville State, sold out, because, you know, his ankle still was at roughly 9%, for those who inquired.
Wow.
And Neil and I were looking for a podcast name 2 years ago, almost to the day. This is episode, like, 61, 62, somewhere in there. And we're like, man, what are we going to call this? And we kind of looked at each other, and Neil was like, for those who inquired. And I called up Jonathan Harkey, former digital designer for Murray State University. Big-time digital producer, and I said, man, can you make me a logo for those who inquired? And he was like, I think I can. And so from that point forward, it has been born, and have a lot of fun with it.
He's with the Buffalo Bills.
He's with the Buffalo Bills.
He's very talented. Anytime
that we want to issue something kind of snotty about basketball, it always begins with, for those who inquired.
Okay. That's good. I like it now.
For those who inquire.
And certain people, I'm not going to call out names, but certain people within the athletic department really like it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to call any names.
Not going to call any names. Now, the one thing that I will say, I have an immense amount of respect for Belmont, and I think, and I didn't when I was a fan coming to college, and it was, you know, I'm obviously as frustrated as anybody else the amount of success that they've had just because of, you know, it's made for... You know, it's made for a lot of drama, you know, especially in the conference championships for the men. I mean,
allowing them into the league when they did, as we said, behind closed doors in the middle of the night, we let them in. And I was against it at the time because I didn't think they played on the same level playing field as we did because they didn't have football. They've come in our league and they've used Murray State and Austin Peay to some degree to help promote their program because if they're competitive with us and they win our league, and now they have vaulted themselves into the Missouri Valley.
I think that's a perfect dovetail. Obviously, let's bring it up again for those who inquired. The last, what do we want to say, 3 weeks almost, has been an incessant talk, then bouts of quietness, and then loud noises again.
Started when P happened.
Yeah.
And then Belmont happened.
And so. Now all of a sudden... I think it's worth addressing at this point. We have, you know, Lindy Suter here in studio. Obviously, you have sources. I have sources. Neil has sources. Sometimes we're all each other's sources trying to figure out what's going on. Do we even know what's going on at this point?
I really don't. I've had so many conflicting stories, and I've just been up and down. You know, there's at times when I've been a 9 that we're going to the Missouri Valley, and then, you know, the next day be a 5. Yeah, so
maybe even a 2.
It's hard to tell because we're in such a different position than Belmont is.
Right.
You know, Belmont could get through there quickly. I mean, they didn't have the other programs. And when you look at football is a little bit of a complicated deal. You got schedules that are set in advance.
Yep.
I mean, you start moving leagues in football, it gets can get a little messy.
It gets messy, and not necessarily because of any sort of success or failure.
No.
I want to address that. This isn't necessarily so much about success and failure as it is scheduling.
No.
And you have contracts in place.
Right.
Belmont did not have football contracts in place.
That's right. Bottom line. Easy fix.
It's like I told Neil and I have used this analogy, and I'll use it again. It's like pre-check for TSA. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we didn't have a carry-on. Murray State has a carry-on. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with having a carry-on. Their carry-on is football. It's a program. There's other carry-ons, too, that they have to deal with. Baseball, softball, volleyball. There's so many different things. Belmont has some of those carry-ons. One of the carry-ons they didn't have was a 50-pound football bag.
That's exactly right. I mean...
And it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just something that must be addressed.
It's not about our program, like you said, whether it's a winner or a loser, because we've got lots of success in our history in football, too.
Absolutely.
And if I recollect well, we've done well against Indiana State and Missouri State matchups that we've played them over the past 10, 15 years. So, you know, I think we're already competitive in the mid-level.
Of the Missouri Valley.
Right. I'd say we are competitive with the 5 teams that participate in the basketball Missouri Valley that play football.
Yeah. Let's address the elephant in the room. I'll just go ahead and say it. I've heard from multiple reputable sources that the Missouri Valley's concern isn't particularly from some of the private schools. It's public schools. It's SIU, Evansville. It's Missouri State teams that, Neil, and I'd like for you to address this because you did it in our pre-show. It's schools that I believe they would directly come into conflict with the same type of students that you'd be drawing.
I think it's a student thing, probably more than athletics. SIU, I can still remember when they eclipsed the 20,000 mark in enrollment, and they dropped a lot from that. At one point, it was about a 50% drop. I haven't seen this year's enrollment, so I don't know where it is.
Right.
They're not in a spot where they can really afford to lose any more students, and I don't mean like three or four. I mean like in the hundreds.
Like about 500 to 1,000.
And I think that might be something that they are concerned about, that could possibly affect them negatively. And every school has to do what's best for them. I don't actually get mad at a school for doing what's best for them. I understand why you might make that decision, but it may not be what's best for Murray State.
Right.
So we'll see how. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. You mentioned sources. All the sources I have tell me they don't know anything. So that's what I have.
Well, the stuff me and Ed have seen have been from sports writers, mostly from other places where Missouri Valley Conference teams are located.
Well, it's a lot of my sources are also, it's the same type of consternation where they're just like, they've already had their conversations with maybe an SID or an AD, and the between the lines conversation is, well, we're just not really sure. Neil and I have already addressed this. Matt Jones tweeting out from KSR that Murray State was going to get a Missouri Valley invite soon. I don't necessarily think that's incorrect. Here's the one thing that I will say. As we all continue to hear a lot of noise, something is happening. I know that sounds so vanilla to say, but something's happening.
Yep.
There are absolutely conversations happening. Emails, phone calls, Zooms, perhaps even a luncheon somewhere. There are conversations occurring as we speak. Is anything going to come to fruition by, say, homecoming weekend? I don't know. There's been a lot of buzz about that. Be a great time. I've said that from, having talked about that in the last couple of weeks. Homecoming would be a slam dunk to announce anything. Anything. It doesn't matter if it's, we're staying, we're going, we're whatever. To find some solace and some comfort before the basketball season starts, to put things at ease where you're headed. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Could be Thanksgiving.
Could be.
It could very well be, which is not an awful
may
time
not
to
ever
announce
happen.
Either. May not. Nothing may happen.
May never. We don't like to talk about that, but
I think this is a safe. This is
sure,
a safe place
it's
to
a
talk
sure
about.
Possibility.
It. Yeah, because after all of the volume, you may discover that where you're at is where you need to be.
No, I don't agree with that. But I'm saying that it might come to the point that we are where we don't have a choice. And then do you try to make the league better? And how do you make the league better? I don't know how you make the league better. Now, we started this expansion or bringing teams in several years ago, and every team we brought in was a Division II team. Well, eventually you end up being that. They're the ones that rule. They're the ones that vote.
That's
SIU Edwardsville's vote counts like Murray State's vote counts.
Right.
All those Division II teams and their best prospects right now, Southern Indiana Division II team, that would be a good addition to the OVC.
Be a great
if I'm
great
in the OVC, I'm all over Southern Indiana.
And I was talking to a couple of guys.
You're
they
begging
say
them.
Yeah.
As soon as they get to the league, they have the best arena in the league.
They got the best arena in the league. And
instantly.
They got Bruce Pearl won. I guess he won national championships at Southern Indiana. So
sure
they
did.
Tradition. They've got a good following. The tournament's in Evansville. Oh, the next thing you know, the commissioner's office will be in Evansville.
Mm-hmm. Well,
got the tournament moved. Let's get the commissioner's office moved.
Lindy, you and I have talked a lot about this. Neil, you and I have talked a lot about this. I love the fact the tournament's in Evansville.
Ah, that was how Neil remembers.
Yeah, I love it. I
love it.
It just has a high-class feel when you're in there.
I'm just going to tell you, and you can go back and archive listening to the radio shows with me and Travis. When I came back from that last year in Nashville, I was done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd hit
I remember you and Travis talking about it.
Point, and I actually even went to the athletic director and told him my thoughts.
Yeah.
And Alan was very receptive. And he said, where else can we have it? And I actually mentioned Evansville. And he said, don't they have hockey? And I said, they don't have it there no more. And he said, I'm going to check into that.
And here we are
in Evansville.
One of the best ads, like him or not, I like him, is Kevin McMillan at the press conference with the newspaper talking about,
my hero.
Oh, we're here because more publicity.
My hero.
Well, let's take a look when the game is tonight.
Which gets me to those media markets and adding Belmont to the Missouri Valley, giving them the Nashville media market. I got a word for you. The Nashville media market is the Predators and the Titans.
That's what they are. And if Vanderbilt is good at something,
is decent, they're all right.
That's right.
You know, you can't even hardly find an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about St. Louis University.
They cover the Vols more than they would cover anything with the OVC, no matter what happened.
No matter. So
while you guys are talking, I just want to describe.
But I like the way he Kevin, he has a player at each side of him, or two of them, but and he's asking them, "Will you look in the paper, see if you can find it? Maybe it's just me."
I was in that presser.
I don't know where it is. It was great.
I'll never forget it.
I saw him the next day, and I said, "That's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life."
Fantastic.
In sports.
I am so happy. Adam Wells of WPSD and myself were both in that presser. It was incredible.
I wish I'd have been. I'd have got up and broke the rules and gave him a standing ovation.
It was absolutely, like, I was stunned because there were Nashville writers in the room at the time, a couple, you know, just doing their job, whatever, just, you know, moving on. You know, let's get our two graphs and move on. And I just sat there and I was like, holy shit. Like, he just did that. I looked at Adam when he left, like, he, you know, moseyed out, whatever. And I turned to Adam and I just said, holy shit, dude. I said, please tell me you were recording. And Adam's like, I got every damn minute of it. And I'm saying, here we are. Here we are.
But he made everything he said was valid.
Oh, it was. You know, right on. Because it was spot on.
They had the banners up in the street. Welcome to the SEC tournament.
You should have
the week of the OVC tournament.
Yeah.
No scoreboards.
Yeah. They didn't care.
Eddie Money concert. Andy Griffith on TV. My shoes sticking to the floor. Parking garage was all backed up because everybody couldn't figure out how to read those prepaid parking spaces. Then you had to worry about getting mugged on your way to a $350 a night motel room.
And that was the cheap one.
And then you waiting
with
a $15 hamburger down in the lounge.
Lindy's laying
it on
thick.
But we have country music.
and it is good.
That's
good if you want to go down there. And you know.
But that's not what we're here for.
We're here to play basketball. We're not here to get drunk.
I love it. I mean, I keep going, man. You're not wrong. You've listed one pro. They were playing basketball, and 50 cons, and that's impressive.
Well, Kevin, I think played a role in getting it moved. I think that helped.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that helped a lot. And Alan and Bob Davies were chairman of the. Alan was the chairman of the athletic. He was the athletic director, and Bob Davies, and I'll give hats off to them too.
Yep.
They worked their butt off to get that tournament moved.
Yeah. Yep.
And hats off to Bob and Alan.
And man, did we hit a perfect storm on that.
Rolled in there. And hey, I think that's benefited a lot of things. I think that moving to Evansville, we have a lot of alumni up there, which showed.
It's absolutely
If you're
showed.
A Nashville alumni, you got to drive 2 hours from Nashville to Nashville.
Yep. You're right.
And they get to that game from Nashville to Nashville.
Yeah, Evansville, from East Nashville to downtown is 40 minutes.
Evansville, and that's if you're lucky.
They want you there.
They want you there.
We want you here. That's the one thing. We want you here.
Leaving the league. I hate leaving the league. You know, if we get a chance to leave, because I think we've got to now, if the basketball program wants to elevate any higher than what it is, because I think the league's ranking will be so low that it'll be hard to get anything but a 16 or 15 seed, and winning games in NCAA is hard to do.
Right.
And but you know that Evansville location, but that should be another reason why the Missouri Valley, because you know if we've got a John Morant type team, Isaiah Cannon type team, a campaign, you think, well, we're not going to have another. Well, there's three I just mentioned.
Yeah.
If we got those top teams.
Oh, in the last 8 years.
Yeah, you got those top teams, and we're competitive, and we're as good as we were then. We're good enough to compete for that championship in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. If our team is that good, we're competing. Well, you know what? If we're that good and we're competing in St. Louis for the Missouri Valley, we're going to have 5,000-6,000 people there.
Yeah,
maybe not for the whole tournament, but if we advance especially, because St. Louis ain't much. I mean, ain't a whole lot
Western Kentucky travels to St. Louis. I'm looking at two Cardinal fans right in the same damn room.
Yeah, and plus, you know, you got alumni up in that area. I think that's helped in our recruiting class. We've signed a kid from Indianapolis. We've signed a kid from St. Louis. We went up into the Midwest. Our tournament moved a little bit Midwest. All the publicity Jai got all up through Indiana, Missouri, and all that. And I think that's all filtered.
And one thing that we do for the Cardinal games, and I'm sure our fans could do this if that ends up happening, you can end up staying in Collinsville or anything there and take the train, the Metrolink. We take the Metrolink to the ballpark, or you can take it to – you don't have to battle any driving.
Yeah.
No, you stay at a nice hotel. Usually those communities have great restaurants and things like that. So you get to go experience Arch Madness if you're a part of that, and then you can zip back to your hotel. And it isn't $350 a night.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Not.
Don't have country music, but bring your guitar. Just play some yourself.
I have two very different points that I want to bring together at the same exact time, and I want to start first. Let's talk about, we've talked about every recruit, Lindy, and I want to bring it back because you've just mentioned it. St. Louis individual by the name of Braxton Stacker, considered a three-star recruit. He's a 6'5 kid, about 190 now, played for Brad Beal Elite. What can you tell us about Braxton Stacker and maybe what the possibility is? There's a lot to unpack with him, too, because number one, he's the fourth commit for the class of 2022, joining Cornelius Williams. Justin Morgan, and Jackson Edwards. Yeah, well, that's, yeah, 6'5", 6'6", 6'6", 6'10".
It's a good class.
It's a good class. Number one, what can you tell us about Braxton Stacker? Number two, is the class done?
Oh, I don't think the class may be done for the early signing period.
Yeah,
because we, you know, KJ and Tevin, it's assumed they'll go, you know, move on, play for money.
Yeah,
and then somewhere. you've got the two seniors and Skipper and Carter. So that's four guys, and we've signed four really good high school players. Mm-hmm. I really love getting one of the best kids out of Memphis too. I mean, I know y'all have probably talked about him.
No, but man, talk when, about when him. You, when we you
think
have
of,
too.
When you think about Memphis right now, and you think about Ja Morant in Memphis,
there's a hunger.
Cameron Payne and Tony Payne Senior being in Memphis,
and Jonathan,
T. Morant being in Memphis,
Jonathan Starks,
Shaq Buchanan's in Memphis,
that's right.
Jonathan Starks in Memphis,
Darnell Covert,
Marcus Brown is on our staff. Memphis is, if they don't go to Memphis, we're gonna have a pretty good shot at getting that next level kid.
Yeah,
and this kid is. I mean, he's that good. I think, and I'm hearing that not from our coaches because they're not really allowed to talk to us about that kind of stuff. I guess
right.
But I hear it from Coach Kane, that's at Dayton, Coach Shoemate, that's at Georgia Southern.
Yeah,
you know, they can tell me what they think about those guys.
Sure,
and they've all said that it's a really strong class, and that Stacker has a chance to be special, and James Kane said Edwards has a chance to be special too. So and Cornelius, 6'10" kid. Big wingspan. See, the thing about Stacker is he can play three positions. He can play point, two, or three. And he's got a 7 foot, 6'11 wingspan.
Stacker in their state semifinal, which they won in overtime, he had 17
and
points.
He's a winner.
17 points, 12 rebounds.
I mean, you know, Juwan Long won so many games. How many games does your high school team win, too? You know?
It matters.
And it matters. And these guys are coming from winning programs, too.
Lindy, you mentioned, and I'll bring my other point in just a second. Lindy and or Neil, it doesn't matter. What? How long has it been since a St. Louis individual has been a part of Murray State men's basketball?
Rob Kennedy is the last one I remember.
Yeah, and he was from across the river.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's the St. Louis metro area. So,
yeah, it's across the river.
Paul King?
Paul King and Chris Ogden was from St. Louis. Lindsey Foster was from St. Louis. That's the three.
And go look up what they did.
They three, yeah. King and Ogden.
1988 NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And
hey, when I got a chance, can I plug Wes Taylor again?
Yeah, plug it.
If they ever get to where they're going to put more than one number up in the rafters and hang a number, they need to hang Wes Taylor's number. I mean, this is a guy that was two-time OVC Player of the Year in the early 70s when Western was fourth in the nation.
Right.
The only other players to win two-time Player of the Years was Popeye Jones, Jeff Martin,
and Isaiah
Marcus
Cannon.
Brown, Isaiah Cannon, and, you know, that's volumes. I mean, I don't know. I know that administrations gets changed and who made this decision and who made that decision.
Yeah, you lose this transition.
Dude, you know, this dude just, God, it just really bothers me as being a lifetime Racer fan going all the way back to 64 that I know that there's a guy that's as good as Marcus Brown and
right.
them, and he's not getting the proper recognition.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I just want to say that.
No, you're fine.
It's been on my mind this week because people's asked me about it.
Yeah. No, this is a safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is absolutely a safe space. The other question that I wanted to bring up, and it comes into the St. Louis discussion, and you've already sort of touched on it, what happens if you're not in St. Louis? What is the next step for Murray State Athletics if you're not in the Missouri Valley? What are the potential other options? Because I've seen a lot of different things thrown on the chalkboard. I just want to call it like throwing crap through a fan and seeing what sticks to the wall. Like where can the ping pong balls fall as possibilities? We've already mentioned one of them. Nothing. Nothing is a possible ping pong ball. Nothing happens. What are the other ping pong balls?
Thing I hear, Southern Conference also here. You know, we just inked this deal with the Southland. I haven't heard this from anyone, but I think a potential merger wouldn't be a bad idea to help the OVC bring in good teams.
Right.
And then if you would split it to a east, west, north, south, however you do it, so you're not having to play home and home all the time, just a couple of games against those schools, I don't think that would be that bad.
You've mentioned three
it would be
scenarios
better. So
there.
There's three. I don't know if they're ideal, but those are just some scenarios.
What are your thoughts? So this is a safe space.
Well, my thoughts is, unfortunately, I think anything less than Missouri Valley Conference right now is going to be a big letdown and a disappointment to our fan base.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of expectations. A lot of excitement has been built up thinking that, you know, all the reports that we're going to get there.
The electricity is generated.
Generated. Even though I pointed out the Southern Conference is just as highly ranked basketball-wise, it doesn't get the... It doesn't get anybody excited.
You and I.
The Atlantic Sun does. The school locations, first of all, just where they are, you know, is part of it.
The three of us in here, and I know a lot of other fans and reporters and things like that do this. Take a map sometime. Take a few push pins. You can do it digitally if you want, but if you want to physically do it, take a few push pins. See where the A-Sun's map is right now.
Yeah.
It's a wild, wild map.
It's a wild map. You got Florida Gulf Coast involved.
Right.
In there. But the other thing to keep in mind, too, this is not over.
No.
There's conferences. There's going to be teams leaving the Southern Conference. You wait and see. Somebody's going to leave. They're going to be moving. They're going to be looking for replacements. The only way I see the Southern Conference maybe working is Tech went with us. Say Murray State, because they're not going to sit still.
How far are you willing to drive to go to the conference basketball tournament?
Yeah, where is it?
It's in Nashville, North Carolina. Six hours and 20 minutes.
They would have to move it.
They can't through 2026.
Good Lord Almighty.
It's locked
in. That's
so through 2026.
Well, I'd say throw that out, except you do have a men's basketball program helmed by Matt McMahon that recruits heavily in the Carolinas.
Well, that's
true. And the Carolinas are beloved.
You got Samford and UT Chattanooga.
And you think about the fan base here in Western Kentucky.
UT Chattanooga is going to be picked to win it.
I'm talking about from a travel perspective. Asheville's beautiful. Look at the number of people in Western Kentucky that'll go as far as Gatlinburg. What's another 2 hours?
Let me ask you guys this.
Sure.
What if we have to stay? What's going to be the...
Well, I don't know who else is coming in. If no one's coming in and we have to stay... It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad news bears.
But I don't know who's coming.
If you have to stay and
by the way, the schools right now, Samford, Western Carolina, Citadel, Mercer, VMI, East Tennessee, Chattanooga, Furman, Walford, and NC Greensboro.
Which, by the way, I'm going to iterate it again because you and I see eye to eye, Lindy, about what the Southern can do from a basketball perspective. They were competitive last year.
Yeah, they're very. But I'm just with Neil. I can't get over I still can't get past the locations of the school.
I get that.
I just can't get unless that whole league changes.
I'm just saying the quality of basketball.
There's rumors of two of those teams leaving the Southern, and if they bring Tech and Murray into it, then all of a sudden it starts becoming more Western.
It shifts.
It shifts a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe they grab somebody else. I remember East Tennessee though. That's a long way there to the ball games. I rode the bus as a kid there once.
Well, and that's Johnson City.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the two teams that are I rumored that what's matriculating there? Is Chattanooga one of them?
To what?
I don't know that that's serious.
Where
the two teams out of the Southern? What are the two teams that are rumored?
No, they'd be some of the East Coast teams.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Colonial Athletic, I think maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
maybe picking up a couple of them.
But that's what I'm. You're right. If it did shift this way, now all of a sudden. Is Murray to the Southern, is it a bad option?
Well, it would be better than what we're left with, like Neil said, if there's no additions.
I want to read.
The Atlantic Sun, basically, probably be better than what we're going to be left with if we make no additions.
I do want to readdress, because you just asked it, and I know we've kind of sidetracked, but that's what this conversation is a lot of you ever seen the movie Tremors?
I have.
Man, I don't watch too many movies.
It's fine. That's fine. It's like Tremors. You got rattling in so many different directions, you don't know which place is safe.
Whack-a-mole.
It's whack-a-mole. That's a better way to put it. It's whack-a-mole. We're playing whack-a-mole right now. All of us are.
Southern Conference, MVC.
Yeah. Who's popping up? We got to take that now.
So I don't know.
So if you stay in the Ohio Valley Conference and nothing happens and you're just left with six football teams, I agree. That's bad news Bears. We'll just use that. If you stay in the OVC and there are some key additions that maybe do involve a Division I program and maybe a couple Division II programs, I don't think that's a horrific scenario, but we'll upgrade it to not ideal. We'll just say not ideal. We'll keep moving. We'll move forward. We have a facilities master plan here in Murray. Kevin Saul and the gang, we're rocking it out. I'm lead guitarist. You know, Dave Winder's backup vocalist.
And there could be something 2 years happen.
Yeah, Bob Jackson's, you know,
with it for a couple of years.
You know, running the stereos, we're good. If you stay in the Ohio Valley Conference and you somehow get more than one Division I program team to come to the league, now all of a sudden you start seeing some forward thinking. I don't know.
Who are we going to schedule?
That's right.
Who are we going to schedule? We stay in the OVC and we lose 2 games to Jacksonville State. 2 games to Belmont.
Right. I agree with you.
And it's like, and then again, I mean, let's just call it like it is. I'd rather go to the Atlantic Sun to stick with the leadership we have right now in the OVC. If they want to change some leadership in the OVC and get some momentum going, but with all the success, and all due respect, all the success the OVC has had, NBA players, wins in the NCAA.
Not just
Murray State, Belmont. I mean, this is Moorhead's won a game. And we've had Kenneth Fareed. I mean, all the success, and somehow or another.
Covington, Fareed.
We're in a situation where all of a sudden everybody's gone. I mean, this should be in a league that the UT Chattanoogas and the SIUs might be thinking about wanting to join.
Right. Except for Belmont, it's football driven.
Yes.
But Belmont's decision was made because those teams left. So it was a football decision that caused Belmont.
And I still think them getting shafted by the NIT last year and finally showing through that she hasn't been able to get anybody anything done by any kind of whatever, connections or whatever. We didn't get an NCAA tournament the year. We were 25th in the nation. Belmont has a great year last year. They don't get an NIT. I mean, yeah.
It's frustrating. Yeah, and I'm glad you actually brought that up. I think that's a very fair point. It's something that people forgot last year in the chaos of college basketball and COVID-19. Belmont had a terrific year, lost to a terrific and hot Moorhead team, and then they were a league champion, and did not get a sniff in a shrunken NIT.
Yeah, slots
where connections have a big part.
Right. Slots were cut.
They would have gotten in had it been the normal size.
Yeah, they won 25 games last year.
Still. I know.
Mm. I mean, I'm glad they did.
Well, as a reporter and as someone who's had to temper those things, I will say that I was extremely frustrated. I will say in 2015, I had no idea that I was going to be a Racer beat reporter. And when Barnett hit the three, I was a fan at the time. I did not know that I was going to become a Murray State men's and women's basketball reporter and a program reporter.
Is
and
that
at
when
that time,
that clock stopped at about 7 seconds, they got to rerun their
play. I know. Okay. And I tweeted some inappropriate words were shared on social media. And you know what? I've left them up. In perpetuity, I have left them up. It says F Belmont, and I was. I don't mind. It's there. You can take it. You can screenshot it.
I lead this room in deleted tweets.
That's fair. Okay. All right.
I have hardly any, but I have this thing. I'll sit and look at it for 2 or 3 minutes. And go, nah, I'm not posting.
No, I have it sometimes.
So I'm good at that.
Well, here's what I like to do. I like to put it out there for about 5 minutes.
And see what happens.
And just kind of, you know, all right, y'all know now. Okay, I'll take it back.
If they ever come up with a way, and this wouldn't just be me, but if they ever come up with a way to find out what you typed out and then decided not to post, there would be like 8 people working.
You're
out.
Check them off.
Yeah,
they're
but I
out
never posted it. I thought about it and like, nah, you typed it out.
Yeah, so. You had the thought. It's like Minority Report.
That's, there you go.
It's like, you didn't murder him, but you were thinking about it.
So you're going.
You know,
to
the thing is, too, guys. I guess you know we need to as fans, myself, fan, need to stay focused on the present.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we can't control what's happening in the Missouri Valley, the Atlantic Sun, the future. But we can control next Saturday when we play Austin Peay and when the teams are participating in this basketball season. It's Belmont. Belmont's not in the Missouri Valley this year. So we need to focus on this year and let it go wherever it goes. And we'll see what happens. But as fans.
It's absolutely.
Because the fans are really, they're really into this. I mean, a lot of them really focused on this.
I want to see Belmont have a good year in the NIT this year. I want them to have a good run. Uh-huh. So I don't have any issue with that.
Yeah, that's
I'd
terrific.
I'd love to give them a good butt kicking on the way out, man. That might be worth them getting out. Just give them a good.
I'm just letting you guys talk. I like hearing this as a.
I just hate losing that rival though, because you know they become a rival. I mean, you know,
yeah, same with Austin Peay.
They kind of disappeared a little bit though. Belmont had really become my. I'd rather beat Belmont than Peay, and that's from a lifelong racer fan.
Wow.
Now I'd rather beat Western than any of them.
So you're going to get your chance
next year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wait, is it next year? 23? I think it's.
You're after four starters.
It's two years. It's 23-24. Well, by
okay,
then.
Okay, that's right. We'd be back.
Got a couple years.
Hey, and I think what'll happen, you asked me about, are we through? I think the smart thing we'd do, I like the four guys we got.
Yeah.
I think what we'll do, naturally, somebody will leave. Happens every year.
Every
transfer
team.
Portal, especially. Yeah. I think we lose a couple. I don't know who they'd be.
Yeah.
Maybe one. Maybe two. You don't ever know.
And
maybe more.
Or zero.
But I would hold those spots for transfer because it came in handy. And I think this transfer portal could end up being a really plus for Murray State. I know I've heard the words that it's not good for mid-majors. We're a little bit different than the SEMO. If SEMO gets a player that's all conference his freshman, sophomore year, that transfer portal is going to look awful appetizing.
And I hate it.
But if you're an all-conference player at Murray State your freshman, sophomore year, why do you want to leave?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, I mean, and then,
I'm going to bring that up.
And if you look at the transfers that we have brought in versus the transfers we have lost in the past, even when the transfer portal, I think the transfers that we've gained are better than the transfers that we lost.
Yeah. I want to bring that up very quickly. I know that this is a Murray State and First Region podcast, but, you know, you take a look at SEMO, and, you know, I wish nothing. I want the league, whatever it is, you know, to always be successful. I like the Ohio Valley Conference, but you take a look at SEMO, another former Division II program that, you know, that moved in, started to have success. You think about the most recent basketball players that have left that program: Ladarius Brewer, Denzel Mahoney, Taj Eady.
They don't leave Murray. I'm telling you,
those three guys have been awesome elsewhere.
In my opinion, they don't leave Murray.
And we, as a league, we need to find out how we keep those kind of players in the league. I mean, I know it's not our job, but that makes the league better. When the league sucks, not good for us.
It's not good for anybody.
Something I've often thought about is, even though Murray and Belmont elevated their programs, when Murray and Belmont, and especially even Murray back in the 90s, when we started dominating the league, the other teams started falling off. They weren't having any success.
They didn't want
their support was falling off because Murray was dominating. They were winning it every year.
Right.
And then they come in. I mean, you look at the move. Somebody says, why would Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, and Eastern Kentucky want to leave the OVC?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time, even basketball-wise, it's a smart move for them. Which league is it going to be easier to beat? You going to beat Murray and Belmont every year to get to the NCAA tournament, or do you want to go over and beat Bellarmine in those schools for a trip to this? So they'll probably experience more trips to the NCAA tournament.
It's possible, but
with Belmont gone now, I mean, you know, I guess some people, you could stay where you're at and just dominate the OVC. You might and you might not. Because if the league, because I don't want to say this in a negative way, but our ticket for a ball game is, it's got some value to it.
Yeah, absolutely has value to it.
So when you want to go watch a game and you're paying that kind of money, I'm not for sure that how long the fan base can stay excited about paying for SIU Edwardville's and those kind of matchups.
Sure.
Eastern Illinois matchups. You know, Tennessee Tech matchups, maybe at one time, but that still, there's not a matchup in our league right now without Belmont in it and without Peay in it, without Eastern Kentucky, that gets my heart rate up.
Yeah. And there, you know, for a while,
Moorhead don't really get my heart rate up. If it's for the championship, it's going to get my heart rate up. But if Moorhead's coming to town Saturday night and we're playing at 7 o'clock, who's going to beat down the doors to buy the ticket?
And you don't play that. Yeah, that has to be played at 4 o'clock now.
4 o'clock now.
Yeah. Right.
You can't play that.
4 o'clock game. And so that's my biggest fear. If Murray State stayed as good as we are right now, sure, we'll win it every year. Ain't no doubt. May go undefeated several years without them.
Yeah.
But are you going to continue to get the Brandon Stackers and the Cornelius Williams and
The only way to do that is if the league's weak is beef your schedule up out of conference.
Got to.
And that's tough to do. But if you do, you got to win the games. So if you have eight of them, you got to win five or six.
Yeah.
You don't go 1-7.
No.
You got to win them all.
Just about. Oh, and by the way, you have to find teams that are willing to come have that happen.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate the Racers beating our asses.
It's a unique situation that we're in because our basketball program has had so much success in the situation that we're in. Small town, community, kind of a unique story anyway.
Yeah, sure.
You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So you got this basketball program that on a national scale and really as a program itself is probably a mid-major plus type program.
Sure.
So then is your town. Is your town mid-major plus? Is all the other parts of your athletic department mid-major plus?
Yeah, I think that's a very...
This is going to be a telltale, really, in the next year or two.
Well, I want to bring this up, too. It's just been seismic. You take a look at what is changing in college athletics, and that's a whole other podcast for another time, but what is happening right now, and I'm glad you guys both touched on it, the other conferences have just as much impact as to what will happen as what Murray State is doing.
Yeah, we can't do...
You can't control those X factors, and all I can say is there are people at the helm at the moment that see icebergs ahead. That's how I would like to describe it. You absolutely have, you know, individuals, guys like Bob Jackson, Kevin Saul, their contemporaries around them that are on the bow of a ship, and they can see iceberg ahead. They are the ones navigating the waters, and I can tell you, they're not just looking through binoculars. They've been really busy on the phone.
One final thing I want to say, because a lot of fans, I hear this, I've heard this for years. Why don't we go to the Missouri Valley Conference?
Because you haven't gotten an invitation.
Yes.
Hello? We're here.
Yes.
No one's coming to the door to open it. Until that happens, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Not
it
at all.
Really doesn't matter. How badly we want to get in, if they don't invite,
it doesn't happen.
We're not going.
Yeah, you can't just walk in. Hang on. I'll even. Let's just do it.
Oh, no. What's Ed? Ed just went out a door and he's.
Ain't nobody home.
Yeah, nobody's
no
home.
One's here, man.
We're all gone.
Hey, you got to go off somewhere else.
Hey, can I leave a message?
Yes.
Nah. We want to be in.
Sorry. We're.
Go back to.
No one's here. Yeah. This is the babysitter. So, yeah, that's kind of where we are. You have to get an invite.
Exactly.
And if it comes...
I'm really glad you brought it up.
And then it's in our court. But right now, as far as I know, it's not in our court.
Not only is it not in your court, it wasn't in the court in 2017 either. And I'll be honest, I was one of those people that thought that that had a lot of steam to it. And then it just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to remember, the invite has to come before... This is a cart-horse situation. Hey, Racers. Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, well, we're just going to trot on in because everything's okay. Furthermore, and this is worth bringing up, not just with the Missouri Valley, but any situation, a lot of leadership has changed at Murray State University since 2017, starting with an AD and a president, and several boards of regent.
And at the Missouri Valley, too.
And at the Missouri Valley. So there's a
reintroduction. Martin P., too.
That's right. So you have a reintroduction process everywhere, not just at the Missouri Valley, but any sort of phone call you're making.
I'd just like to know how in the world. I've been hearing all year long, all summer long, Austin Peay's going to the Langston.
Mm-hmm.
Every assistant coach I know in the country is calling me from all these AAU events and telling me that.
Sure.
And we got an expansion committee in the OVC that has Austin Peay's athletic director on the expansion committee. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
That's a good question.
Jeez.
I was told at the OVC tournament by two of the other broadcasters. I don't know when they're going to announce it, but they're going.
They're going. It's common knowledge.
It's like, well, yeah, I don't know. And I even asked.
Like you got your eyes closed down there?
Someone with Austin Peay, not an administrator, and they said, I haven't heard anything about it. And he was, I think, was honest. He's been honest with me everything else. But they obviously, as soon as the time came, yep, we're out.
See ya.
Said they would have went out last time with Jacksonville State and Eastern's what I heard, but the president wasn't in place.
Wow.
I think it's also worth noting, too, and I know we've talked about a lot of different things. We'll wrap it up here fairly quickly, but I wanted to say this. We are at a situation, too, where a lot of the optics out of Murray State are really good. You have a situation where probably prior to COVID, you would have had an announcement on the facilities master plan anyway. That was probably coming, but now all of a sudden it comes out. I don't want to say post-COVID. I don't think that's fair, but we are
post-vaccine.
Post-vaccine. We are post-vaccine, and Murray State has now announced a facilities master plan. I mean, I don't care if it's accidental PR or not. It's good PR. Yeah. So I'll leave it at that. I don't, you know, as far as all of the different things in motion, it's enough to make your head spin mm-hmm. and enough to make things hurt.
I want one other thing before we get out of here.
Go for it.
You teased it.
Did I?
You said, yeah. And you gotta pony up here.
Okay.
You said something might be happening this week. What did you mean by that, Ed?
Oh.
That may be too top secret. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I want to know something about it.
I will say this. I've
because
heard,
some of us inquire.
I have heard from more than one source that homecoming would be an incredible opportunity for Murray State officials to not only gather, but to make key and critical decisions okay. about the future of the program.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, which is they're all going to be here, so I could see that happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That's
I at least wanted to know what you meant by that.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if there is an announcement coming in the next 96 to 112 hours, but you'd love to see one, no matter what it is, even if it's a unified front on our future is bright, or you know, much like Kevin Saul's announcement that came 24 hours after Belmont's announcement. If you had another that I mean that announcement was incredible. I mean, really, yeah. If you think about it, just a two sentence statement that said we are actively engaging and we're with OVC leader. You know, it was just like, okay, well, here you go.
Fresh off Twitter, Kenny Roth reviewing the Ken Pomeroy preseason hoops ranking. The OVC league ranking is 29th out of 32.
Ouch!
Seven of the 10 teams rank between 249 and 340.
No.
Can't let underperforming programs make decisions about the future of racers hoops. Amen, Kenny Roth.
There you go.
I just had that texted to me as well. Okay. Well, that was timely.
It made it right on the podcast.
I will.
Is there somebody in here?
I will say this, and I'll leave.
We're
leave
on
it at
Google,
that.
So yeah, there's always somebody watching.
I just think for the next. I think the next 96 hours will be really, really interesting. Okay. I know that that's very vanilla, but you have a key iron in the fire if you say anything in the weekend of homecoming. Anything. Even if it's not an announcement of movement, like this is where we're headed, if you announce anything along the lines of this is what we're doing and here's why, you have a megaphone at homecoming. With a football game, alumni getting together that Friday night, that Saturday night, you could have, well, I'm not going to say you're going to have State Street, but you could have couches burning somewhere if you have announcements or any iteration of an announcement in that 48-hour period. Yeah. I mean,
here's the kind of thing, you know, he puts that on Twitter and then it's just boom, 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 boom. I mean, you know, a tweet, the OVC is a sinking ship. You don't have to be blind not to leave the OVC. I mean, and that's 29 ranking is before Belmont and Austin Peay leave the league. After the season, oh.
Well, Kevin's announcement is like, hey, it wasn't a full buy-in for the OVC. Because if you're fully bought in, we're all in with the OVC, and that's the end of the story. Try that at home. Hey, I like my wife, but I'm exploring some other opportunities. You know, I'm just looking around. She's good, but I'm just testing the waters and seeing what's best for me. Yeah. And you better have a comfortable couch
you're
allowed to stay on the couch.
Yeah,
But I mean, I think it was a great statement.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. I do too.
I want to close. I'll close with this because again, this is a safe space, and we'll continue to treat it as one.
It's public.
It is.
Everyone on the planet can access this.
By safe,
it's safe.
I just mean safe as in a safe discussion.
I'm still having to hold back a whole lot.
Yeah. I'll say this, and again, there's just so many different things to say. Apparently, this is from a message board. This was iterated to me by more than one individual. This is about Murray State. It said, SIU is still really weary, apparently, and as we have suspected, I don't know who this individual is, but they seem like they might know some things. As we have suspected, football is a big problem. And I don't necessarily know if I like the word problem, but I get it. It's the baggage.
It complicates the matter.
Yeah,
that's
what he means.
I think that's what
exactly.
he means. It's not really a problem.
The OVC is a hard no on letting them keep the program there.
See, I don't have any way to know that that's true.
I don't either.
Shouldn't be. But.
The Southland isn't interested. Okay, well, maybe, maybe not. The SoCon would take them, but they want a 10-year commitment. Okay, I could see that. That seems plausible. It's a mess. Well, it was a mess 3 weeks ago, so that's fair. The Dakotas would vote Murray State in, but nobody wants to redo league schedules, and the MVC football schedules are out through 2025. That's interesting. Nobody wants to redo the paperwork. Currently discussing helping Murray State schedule as an FCS appendant. Independent for a few years. Murray State would be able to get some games with the Missouri Valley, the Pioneer, and the Big Sky, but it's obviously a question if Murray State could get a full 11 games that way, and obviously they don't want to sacrifice a football program.
Northern Iowa?
Yeah.
Northern Iowa fan?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if any of that's...
Don't know if any of it's true.
From a message board.
Yeah.
And it could be. I've gotten some good stuff from message boards and some bad stuff.
Some bad stuff. I'll close with that then. That's exactly where we are. There are a lot of different messages right now going out, which tells me something's happening. I just don't know what.
Yeah. A
lot of noise.
Let's get our focus back on the present, though.
Yep.
Big game Saturday.
Beat the Govs.
Guys, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been
real long.
Hey,
real
fun. Thanks for having me on here. I know I probably extended a little bit.
No, I mean, when there's a third person.
But I really appreciate being able to come on.
Absolutely, man.
It's been a while since I've got to talk about the Racers. And
Lindy, you stretch the old sea legs, man. We appreciate it. Anytime, man.